we'll be honest with ourselves, we've all battled this, and there may be some folks in here battling it right now, but it's this bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness, there is no beauty whatsoever found in bitterness. It's not. Bitterness wrecks, destroys, rots. It is the ugliest of all things I believe that we can have in our life. I believe it's so life-changing. It even described as a canker or a cancer that eats from the inside out. And I don't want to know about you, but I don't want to live a bitter life. I just rather live a better life. How about you? And bitterness, though, we must deal with it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 15 through 17, it says this. If this stands for reading of God's Word, you guys have been sitting for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 through 17 this morning. I'd like for you to ask yourself even now, just ask the Lord to quieten your heart, your thoughts, and really listen. You don't want to miss this message this morning. Nothing's more important. Listen to this. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springeth up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how to afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Dear and Father, Lord, just thank you and praise you for this another day of life. I praise you for your goodness. Holy Ghost, I pray this morning that you'll fill me and be Spirit-filled listeners also this morning. I pray that you add the blessing to the reading of your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. The root of bitterness is not just a creative analogy. God specifically made the comparison because the characteristics of a root helps us to understand how bitterness works in our life. I mean, we think about this, a root of bitterness. When I first read this, just a few weeks back when I started going through, starting to study, I thought about that root. And one thing I thought about is this, a garden. Now, the Bible tells us that our life, that God can make it as a well-watered garden. There's nothing more beautiful than a well-watered garden. I mean, even after these rains and different things that we had, just something about a garden when it's freshened up with water and it's got all the nutrients that it needs and it's growing. The sun even begins to hit the leaves while they're wet. It's a beautiful scene. But also, in a garden, if we're not careful, especially, I mean, we've had all kinds of rain, and what happens? Weeds begin to take over. But for the weeds to begin to take over that garden, there first of all must be a root. Now, weeds are ugly. They're despised. I mean, if you're a gardener, you don't want them anywhere near your garden. And by the way, sometimes it causes a gardener just to give up and quit because it just gets crazy trying to fight them weeds. And what happens? Do the weeds stop? No, they just keep on growing and growing. Till it comes to the point that you cannot even see the garden. It chokes the growth of everything that's in that garden and the weeds take over. Now, when it talks about bitterness in our life, being diligent, looking at our lives, being diligent, guarding against these things. We have to be diligent. It's saying, you know what? You need to be careful because that root gets there and we're not diligent about it. In other words, you know, looking for it, thinking it's a possibility, wanting to stay away from it, do away with it. We can be in some big, and the words are right there in that verse, trouble. T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Lest it troubles you. I want to tell you, bitterness will trouble you. Bitterness will wreck you. Bitterness is not worth it. But so many times if we're not careful, we get bitter because we don't want to forgive. We're like the child that you try to tell his sibling to make up and say, will you forgive me? And say, I forgive you. And I say, I don't want to. mean, my gracious, they just want to stay in the mood. They don't want to forgive and do what's right. They don't want to move on from the bitterness because they like it. And they really, they want to blame everything on the other one. So bitterness is a big deal. And we see here in our passage of Scripture that there is things pointed out, and this word root comes up. Now, I want to tell you today that we can dig up the root and toss it in the fire. How many of you thank God for that? But through these Scriptures, and now I want to talk about Naomi a little bit at the very end this morning, we're going to see, first of all, what bitterness looks like and what it does. And then we're going to see how we can keep from getting bitter. But I want to also give you something that will help us. And I might not be able to finish it this morning. I might have to come back tonight so I can finish it. I want to tell you how that if you are bitter, how that we can move on. And how we can get out of being bitter. I'm thankful that things aren't final with the Father. I'm thankful we'll do things the way God has shown us in His Word that we can move on and we don't have to allow it to do the damage. But first of all, we look at roots. You generally can't see a plant, generally can't see plant roots from the surface. I mean, they're covered up. You don't know they're there. I mean, it's like after a rainstorm, all of a sudden all these weeds came up. I said, where did that come from? Well, the problem was there was a root underneath the surface and you could not see it. The root of bitterness is usually covered up by these words that we see here. It says, these are some things like this. I'm upset, bothered, and disappointed. You ever heard those words from somebody? Yeah, it just bothers me. You're bitter. No, I'm just upset and disappointed. Another words that cover up this root is I'm having a hard time dealing with this. And bitterness is slipping in. Another thing that covers up this root of bitterness is, but I'm not bitter. I want to tell you, bitter people are easily spotted. You know, it's sad when it comes to this point. I'm bitter and I know it's wrong, but I don't know how to get rid of my feelings. And by the way, bitterness is a decision. And not to get bitter is just as much as a decision. It's not an emotion. It's something we decide and we allow to happen. It's even more sad when it's obvious someone is bitter and they insist they are not. Man, I'm telling you what, you can get some people really mad and really hot if you call them bitter. Even when you're trying to help them, trying to point out some things. I'm sure that I've got people that really didn't like me because I've had to say some pretty hard words about when it comes to this thing of bitterness. I've got pretty hot when somebody's told me the very same things. You're bitter. No, I'm not. And even the response, the flash of fire, gave me my sentence. You know, it's hard to admit that we are bitter because this is it. Because we don't want to face the hurt that caused the bitterness. That's why it's so hard. We're going to have to face it. We're going to have to deal with it. And we think that if we don't deal with this bitterness, that we just to let it go, we need to deal with it. The root can grow into a massive plant. The root of bitterness can spread into a much larger problem. The root isn't that big of a deal, it don't seem to be, but if it's there, if it's not dug up, if it's not done away with, it's going to spring. It will spring up if the root of bitterness is there. And when it springs up, it's like, whoa! Where did it come from? Wow! Look how big! And you know what I find out with the root of bitterness? A lot of little other roots come along with it. The root of bitterness is one of them roots that you grow in the ground and they don't only go up, but they go out and they go up and they go out and they go up and they just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Brings a lot of little helpers with it. The roots, they can grow into a massive plant. Roots also are hardy. They're hard to kill. Hey, if you're going to deal with bitterness, you're going to deal with this root. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Now, it's easier the sooner you deal with it, and the sooner you get out of it, but they're hardy. If a gardener doesn't move the entire root, the plant will soon spring back to life. Sometimes we think, well, I've got my bitterness under control. I've got my bitterness. I put a little bit of weed killer. It sort of slowed it down for a while. It ain't going quite. I've got it under. I don't have a problem. I know I just had that bad thought towards that person. I know it's just running through my head. I don't have a problem. I took it under control. I'm not thinking about it now. But problem is, it's going to be a continual problem if that root is not dug up and done away with. Roots are hardy. If we aren't careful, we can be caught up in playing the part and covering up the outward showing of bitterness. But remember, bitterness is destructive. Bitterness is a destructive plant. Bitterness is a destructive plant. Just like that garden that the weeds begin to pop up and eventually they will choke, they will cut out the production of that garden, and they will cut out the beauty of that garden. Bitterness is destructive. Until we are willing to let go and let God do some gardening work in our hearts, we cannot overcome bitterness. We can't. Hey, it's still a God thing, folks. Look what we see even in this thing, right, even in these verses. Look what it said there in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I don't read any more sobering words anywhere on the matter of bitterness than I see right there. Lest the man fail short of the glory of God or of the grace of God. Think about that. Grace. We have the grace of God in us, but we are also to be exhibiting living grace to a lost and dying world. You want to know how you can overcome bitterness? You don't want to know how you can diligently look and see there's a root of bitterness and you can dig it up and get it out? Is to understand it's by the grace of God that we live. It's by the grace of God we're able to function the way that God wants us to. It's by the grace of God that we can do away with any bitterness in our life. It all always comes back to Him. If you are a child of God, that same grace that saved you is also the grace that will help you live from every day. And that is what this lost world that we're living in needs to see. Hey, the world is bitter. Christians ought not be bitter. I've said it before. The greatest testimony that we can have is that we are different. We say, oh, the grace of God has been showered down upon us, and oh, we're saved and born again, going to heaven. Yet, we don't have enough grace in our life to live it from day to day to show grace to someone who maybe has offended us. I want to tell you, this grace is so amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. I think it's going to pour over into every part of our life if we experience that grace. That grace is in us. By grace are you saved through faith. I believe it was a transaction that took place because of that grace. I believe it'll be seen. Hold your new creature. So, the prevention of bitterness. Get to that first point. The first thing is, we must give grace. Okay. Hey, you got an opportunity. Somebody's maybe they've done something. Oh yeah, maybe they stepped on your toes, Scott, while he's preaching. I'm going to get out of preacher. You got to show me grace, buddy. You know, you have a chance. You're at a crossroad. Am I going to get bitter? Or am I going to not get bitter? Am I going to show grace or am I not going to show grace? Hey, we must give grace in these situations. Hey, by the way, you might as well understand, you know what, your spouse, He's not perfect. She's not perfect. They're not. And you know what? Your co-workers that you work with, they're not perfect either. But here's another thing. You're not either. If there's anything perfect about you, it's only because the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. And when God sees you through the blood, oh, you're seen perfect. Praise God. Hey, it all comes from the Lord. But you're not going to live a perfect life here. And you know what? We need to show grace to people. We need to be gracious. Because God's been gracious with us. Hey, yeah, I know. Hey, I'm not downplaying the hurt. I'm not downplaying the pain. I'm not downplaying the things that we go through. But why in the world would we hold on to these things? When we give grace, hey, it allows that bitterness not to come into our life and to take us captive. But if we do not give grace, we become the captive. See, the bitterness doesn't hurt the person that hurts you. The bitterness destroys you. It makes things, it compounds things, it makes it worse, it makes the problem bigger because we chose to be bitter. Give grace. Give grace. When we get bitter, we have failed to give grace. If you have experienced saving grace, you are sharing or to share living grace. Acts 4:33 says this about the church. It says concerning the early church, great grace was upon them all. I don't know about you, but this grace, it's amazing. It's great. The church practiced living grace. The heart of a Christian who doesn't show living grace to others is ready soil for the root of bitterness. Matthew 18 teaches a very valuable lesson whenever the servant, he owed his master a lot of money. And man, it would calculate into millions of dollars today, a debt that he could not pay. Yet the master said, you know what, I'm going to clear this all for you and it's going to be all forgotten. And the man, he went down the road and he found a servant that owed him a little bit of money. And the servant that was cleared of the debt, he prosecuted the man that owed him just a little amount. And we look at that story and we say, oh, how could somebody do that? How could someone be so unthankful for their debt being cleared that they would go over to another person and they would do them an injustice really by telling them, and you're going to pay it, and if you can't pay it, I'm putting you in jail. What happened, man? The master found out, what did he end up? That man ended up going to jail himself. I want to tell you, great was our debt. Great was our debt. And yet our debt was paid. So therefore, we're not to go out and not show grace. We're to go out and give grace. This will change our lives. It will revolutionize our life. It will help us in every relationship that we're involved in, from children to parents to husbands and wives to workers, no matter what it may be. We're to be gracious people. I want to tell you, it saddens my heart because some of the most ungracious people are people that say, I'm a Christian. It saddens my heart. People say, I love God and I want to serve God, but yet they don't have no grace for anybody else. So many times, if you're not careful, we all fall into it. You know what? We expect somebody to be a certain way. We expect them not to make no mistakes. We expect them to go through everything just right. But if we're not careful, what happens when we expect and those expectations aren't met? What happens? We get bitter about it. We get bitter about the relationship, and we do not show grace. Lord, help us. It ought to be a prayer of every Christian in here this morning. God, help us to be gracious. I'm not saying overlooking things, but I'm saying we got to be gracious because you know what? If we'll just look a little bit, and it wouldn't have to be very far, so were some of us. Hey, that's how we've acted. That's how we've done. It might not be the exact situation, but we've been there. It isn't, oh Lord, help people to be such as I am. So Lord, help people to be such as you are. Bitterness hurts us. It destroys us. In the midst of all of our hurts, we cannot lose sight of the forgiveness represented at the cross. Thirdly, we give what we've received. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It doesn't say think about forgiving. It just says, hey, forgive one another. Why can we forgive? Pastor, I can't forgive that sin. You don't know what they did to me. They hurt my feelings. Okay, forgive one another unless they've hurt your feelings. You don't know, they physically hurt me, mentally hurt me. Forgive one another unless they've physically hurt you or mentally scarred you? Is that what it says? If we are holding on to unforgiveness for any reason, it is sin in our life. And you wonder why that you don't feel close to the Lord. You wonder why you're not where you used to be. You want to know why? Because you're holding on to sin in your life. And it comes between you and God. Hey, I know some of your stories. I know some of the situations. I know what you've been through. But I want to tell you, there's no excuse. You choose to get bitter. And when we're supposed to choose to give grace. God forgives. Forgiveness is immediate. Aren't you thankful for that? God doesn't sit around, I think I'll forgive that boy. I think I might one of these days. I think he's done a good enough job now. I can forgive him. But God's forgiveness is immediate. God's forgiveness is permanent. Now, I know we can't forgive and forget, but I want to tell you we can forgive permanently. Hebrews 10:7 says, and the sins of our sins and iniquities I remember no more. Hallelujah! This doesn't mean you always wrong to doesn't mean you're allowed wrong to continue, but it means you choose not to hold a grudge. This is how to avoid getting bitter biblically. We have, in Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So, we must choose not to take offense. That's what the word forbearing means. Everybody's getting offended today in this world. You know? That offends me. Well, you can't talk about Jesus Christ because he offends me. I want to tell you, your unbelief in Jesus Christ and you worshiping a false God, that offends me. But I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue to follow the one true and living God. Oh, it offends me if you don't agree with my point of view. Well, I want to tell you, I will line up with truth every time. Try my best to stay with the truth. What God's Word says, and I don't care if it does offend you. But you know what? It happens every day. Everybody's offended, and they can't move past that offended because they allow bitterness to come into their life. We see a lot of movements, ungodly movements today in America, and we know who they are. And I want to tell you, they're the most bitter people you'll ever meet. The most bitter people you ever meet. People that are celebrating sin. Not standing for God. They want to mock God and mock what he says is right. I want to tell you, you know what? Abortionists are bitter people. They are. They're killing innocent babies. Hey, I believe God can save a homosexual. But I want to tell you, there's nothing right about homosexuality. And you're going to find out if you're dealing with them all, they're one of the most bitter people you ever meet. They're offended. They're offended. We got to choose not to be bitter. Bitterness brings me to my next point. Well, I got to finish that second point. The second way that we deal with bitterness according to the Word of God is choose to deal with the offense biblically. Follow the steps of Matthew 18, seeking reconciliation with one who has offended you. It means to address it. It means if you can't forbear it, it has come in and you got to deal with it, you need to address it. It's better to address it than to be quiet and not say nothing about it. If it's become an offense, if you know that's there, you need to address and pray that God, especially between two Christians, it ought to be able to be reconciled. In forbearing or addressing, you don't hang on to the issue or nurture it in your heart. If you find yourself reviewing the situation in your mind over and over again, that's a sign that you're dealing with bitterness. Forgiveness is not calling a wrong right. It is relinquishing justice to God. That's powerful. Well, I want to get even. I think I'll just go, I'm not going to forgive them, because if I forgive them, I'm just not going to be able to get even. Or I'm getting even by being bitter. I'm getting bitter by being a bitter old man or a bitter old woman or whatever it may be. Let me tell you this. You're not doing anything to the other person. You're not doing anything when you choose to be bitter. And one of the strongest things you can do, if you've been wrong, relinquishing them to God. Lord, the Lord says this, vengeance is mine. Have you truly been done wrong? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Maybe you've gone, you've tried to make some things right, or this, or you've addressed it, you've been able to forbear it. And one of my ways I understand that helps me to forbear things is this, knowing that it's in God's hands. I want to make sure this is right. I want to make sure this is right. And at the end of the day, if even if this ain't right, it's got, this has got to be right with the Lord. And let Him take care of things. Let Him deal with it. Paul, what did he do when he was leaving? I might have been Ephesus or it was Colossae. He said, I commend you to God. Even in his discipleship of them, he lets you know what I've done, what God wanted me to do. Now I'm going to commend you leaders. I'm going to commend you pastors. I'm going to commend you to God that you'll stick to the truth of God's Word. And when we are done wrong, when we are done these things, we ought to remember, relinquish justice to God. Why not get bitter? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but right here in this verse, it tells us some very important things, because bitterness defiles. Bitterness defiles. That was a strong word. Bitterness defiles. Bitterness takes us down roads we never thought we'd ever go down. Just keeps getting more and more and more and more, because the root of bitterness springs up and we are defiled. Hebrews 12:15 says, if any root of bitterness go spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness troubles us, not the person who wronged us. Bitterness defiles innocent bystanders. We see here it talks about Esau. Esau's mother got bitter because God wasn't working fast enough and doing it just the way that she wanted to do. And she turned her one son into a deceiver. The other son, he was a profane man, wanted nothing to do with God. All because she harbored bitterness in her heart. It defiled Esau to the place he wanted nothing to do with God. Bitter people raise bitter children. Bitter people attract bitter people. Bitter people don't live into themselves. Have you ever had one of those friends that's just always negative and bitter? Or just, you've had to make a choice. I can't hang around now. I can't have anything to do with that because it's bringing me down. You know what? So true, because bitterness defiles others. It don't only defile us, but it defiles others, the people that we come in contact with, and we need not to be that type of person. You can choose your response. An unforgiving response will kill your joy and hurt those you love, but a response of forgiveness will heal your wounds and allow you to see God at work in your life. Bitterness will affect who you truly are. You go to the book of Ruth in chapter 1 and verse number 20. Ruth has went away. She went to a land of idols. She went to Moab. And I want to tell you, Moabs are everywhere. That's the place where God does not want you. It's not the place God has planted you, the place God has put you in His will. And she went to Moab, and she comes back from Moab, and she says, they didn't hardly recognize her. They said, is that Naomi? And then she said, call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. She came back a bitter woman. It even changed who she was. It didn't even recognize her. And she came back and said, don't even call me by the same name. I'm not the same one who left here. Naomi was full of bitterness, and it had affected who she was. Naomi was literally saying, my soul is full of bitterness and it has affected who I am. let's look at the life of Naomi and let's be encouraged because she overcame her bitterness. First of all, we see the root begins. Naomi, she lived through part of a famine. She left her home. She watched her husband and son die on the unfamiliar country. It was not the events themselves that caused her bitterness. It was her reaction to them. She was in a place where there was famine. She left. This is physical bitterness. She moved on to emotional bitterness and also returned spiritually bitter. The Lord has dealt with me bitterly. I want to tell you, that's a scary place to be. At a place where you're blaming God and you're saying, oh, Lord has dealt bitterly with me. The feet, the fact that they moved from Israel to a godless nation showed that bitterness was in her heart before. They valued personal comfort over the worship of God. Things got hard there in that land as they was in Bethlehem. The famine came. Hey, I want to tell you, by the way, God works in the famine. God works in the famines of life. That famine is there for a reason. But they chose, you know what? We're not going to trust God to supply our need and to take care of our family. We're going to go. We're going to run to Moab, where there's a bunch of idol worshipers, a bunch of heathens, and we're going to go there, take our family, because you know what? We can prosper here. She got bitter because she's going through a famine. And they left. Bitterness begins as a root, and it continues to grow. Oh, we can see the things that she dealt with. Hey, she went to that land, her husband died, her two sons died, and then she returns. When all we do is focus on the problem where we live, we fail to see God's blessings. I don't know what it is about our human nature, but we always want, there's a problem, man, all our attention goes there. But hey, don't forget, we are blessed. Don't forget, God is good. It's the simple song that we've sung all of our life if we've been in church. Count your blessings, name them one by one. In other words, you start counting your blessings, God's going to change your attitude about your life. Because I want to tell you, you've got a whole lot more blessings than you got troubles. A whole lot more blessings. And a discontented heart will have a struggle and a problem wherever it goes. Not being satisfied is actually a symptom of bitterness. Do you realize 20% of America will move this year? Discontent. We come discontented with things. Being discontented is a sign of bitterness. When we are unsatisfied, we are subconsciously begin to think we deserve better than what God has given us. Naomi and her family moved to the most to Moab because they thought it would be a better place instead of an easier life. They expected Naomi's husband and sons died. Still bitter on her return, she pushed her friends away and she accused God of injustice. Okay, can you see what's happening here? She has went to a place. She is very bitter, but she makes a decision to return home. So I want to tell you, well, I told you some ways not to get bitter. We're going to have to show grace. But in case you're in a place where you are bitter, as Naomi was bitter, here's the first thing. If you want to come out, if you want to climb out of that bitterness, this is it. Return home. Return home. In other words, repent. Turn around. They've been going the opposite direction from where God had them to be, and she had to turn around and come back. She made the decision and said, well, I'm bitter. I don't like being here. I really don't know how to get over. But she made the right decision and said, you know what? I'm repenting. I'm returning. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things that can happen to any of us if we're bitter tonight, just return home. Just return where you were. Hey, you know where you'll find God? Right where you left Him. Right where you left Him. You know where it's at. She returns to the place that they were waving, saying, no, Naomi, don't go. She returned to the place where she walked away from, knowing this is where God would have us to be. This is where God has planted us. She returned. But she returned back bitter. She turned back broken. As believers, we can allow bitterness to so disenchant us with God and other Christians that instead of drawing people to Christ, we push them away. See, she was bitter and she returned and she really wanted nothing to do. She wanted to be left alone in her bitterness. She even went as far to say, God has done this to me. And we push people away. Well, but she did return. She made a decision. And she got out eventually out of the grip of bitterness. Bitterness will not allow a person to evaluate their situation accurately. Naomi, when she returned, she said this, though. She said, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. This wasn't really a wise statement for her to say. Because when she left, she went out because she was empty. And she didn't take time to realize what she came back with. See, there was Ruth. Oh, where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Oh, I'm not going to leave your side. Ruth was married to one of her sons that passed away. Ruth was a Moabite. She had help. She wasn't empty. You know what? That's what bitterness will help us. We'll look at things and we try to find all kinds of things to make excuses and try to point the finger to this or that. And we can't even remember the past accurately. She repented. She went home. She changed her mind. Just like the prodigal son. When he was sitting in the hog lot after parting off everything he got, bitter about his home life, bitter about his dad and wanting him to live right, he said, I'll take my inheritance, I will go, I'm going to live it up. But he finds himself in the pig lot. And by the way, there's a pig lots of life everywhere. And he sits there and says, I would like to eat the slop that they was giving the pigs. And he said, you know what? I'm going home. In other words, he woke up and said, you know what? It says when he came to himself, but this is what happened when he changed his mind. If we're ever going to get out of bitterness, we're going to first of all have to be a mental decision. We're going to say, this is enough. Secondly, and this I like, she refocused. How did she get out of her bitterness? Well, Naomi refocused. She refocused. Ruth is a drama about redemption. We see here, she's come back, her sons have passed away, they really have lost all they have. We see that Ruth, which is her daughter-in-law, goes and gleans from the field of Boaz, which was by sovereign hand of God, it happened to be his field. Well, Boaz was a near kinsman. And Naomi knew, you know what, he could purchase back all of our possessions, and even marry Ruth. And so, she began to focus on the relationship of Ruth and Boaz. If you read it, you see it. And as she began to refocus herself on the kinsman redeemer, she began to come out of her bitterness. And you go to the very end of the book of Ruth, you see her as a grandmother nurturing her grandson Obed. Which, hey, she wasn't a bitter old woman, she was a loving grandmother. And she came out of her bitterness. Oh, by the way, Obed. Woo! He points us in a direction because there's a lineage that goes from Obed all the way to Bethlehem centuries later. And our kinsman redeemer was born. Oh, the one who came and can repurchase back all of our possessions. You may be in here bitter and you don't like life. You don't like living the way you've been living. I want to tell you, put your eyes on the kinsman redeemer. He's able to purchase back whatever you've lost. He's able to redeem. We just need to refocus our eyes on Christ. Man, people get mad and they leave the church. People get mad and they leave this or that. God's people here and there. People get mad and they just go and never come back. I want to tell you what, the problem is they're looking at people. They need to get their eyes on the kinsman redeemer. Get your eyes off your situation and go to the one who is the answer to that situation. Bitterness, folks. Man, don't live life bitter. Live it better. And let me tell you, Christ is better. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Hey, keep your heart with all diligence. don't live naive. Don't be the kind of person. Don't sit there. I mean, there's probably some situations, even this morning, that's been pointed out, and you said, no, I don't have that bitterness. The Lord is saying, it's there. There it is. And you're saying, nah. Well, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, one of the ways you fix a problem is, first of all, to admit you have a problem and quit denying it. I don't know where your bitterness lies at. I don't know where it's at, but I want to tell you, the root of bitterness creates a destructive plant. A destructive plant. Now, you might drive down the road to sit day and you see a garden. Plum growed up. Ugly, undesirable. Unless you deal with that root this morning. Unless you dig that plant up by the roots and burn it. That garden that's all grown up, that's your life. And then go down there to Bose and look at that garden down there that he works tirelessly at. And it's beautiful when you go by there. I haven't been by there in a couple of weeks. It's still beautiful. And say, you know what? That's my life. With God. Allowing Him to have His complete way. Without bitterness.